You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Had a conversation yesterday. By the way, Mike Tannenbaum's joining us in about 11 minutes here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So you want to listen to that. 33rd team and ESPN analyst, former general manager. Deshaun Watson, Mike Florio wrote a piece about Deshaun opting out of the 2021 season. Apparently players have the ability to opt out. It's irrevocable. If you opt out of this season because of COVID concerns, then you will not get paid and your contract moves forward. And you don't lose any of that contract moving forward.
So you got an extra year?
Well, you just it's just a non-year.
So you don't get paid this year, but if you're in your last year moves to 2022. Same pay structure. It's a non-year, so I assume if you have a year left,
everything gets
it's
pushed
not like
up.
You sit out
so
your
Deshaun,
free agent. Although you would want to be a free agent.
Aaron Rodgers has saved $20 million. If he doesn't show up, he's going to get charged all this money. If he just opts out, he's going to save about $20 million.
But he doesn't get paid.
And
he's still got that
but
one
his
year.
Place, now he,
but that's another year dead on his contract. They still have rights to him. It doesn't do him any good, right? You said it moves forward the year. So he's still in the same situation, only a year of his.
Only he's telling him, I ain't coming.
Yeah, but a year of your career has passed. And I don't think
well,
Aaron would
you,
do that.
You're a year older. Yeah. You're a year older.
And Deshaun doesn't want to opt out and get nothing.
No, Deshaun isn't opting out because he's going to be on the exempt.
Nobody's empty now.
He's going to be on the exempt list and he's going to get paid leave.
No players are going to opt out of the NFL this year.
Yeah.
Unless you're retiring.
Well, what's the difference? Why retire? Well, you just retire if you're going to retire.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You won't opt out. You'll just retire.
Yeah, retire. But Deshaun is going to get paid his $10 million this year. Deshaun is... I don't think that there's any way, shape, or form the NFL is going to let Deshaun go to Texans camp. They need... And Florio talked about this in a previous article. They need to act on this. The NFL needs to give the Texans, at the very least, give the Texans some clarity on what is going on here. And now, the Texans probably say, no, we don't want that. Don't speak for us. Because if Deshaun doesn't show up, then guess what? We get some of our money back. Mm-hmm. We're gonna be able to find him and get some of the money back that we've given him. Like, you know, that $27 million we gave him as a signing bonus?
Right.
Yeah, that would be nice to recoup some of that. That'd be cool. But Deshaun isn't going to – here's the deal. Now it'll be a game of chicken. Does Deshaun just go, okay, you know what? I'm not going to be on the exempt list. Guess what? I'm showing up. Guess what? Now I got a hamstring. I can't play. I'll be in here. And you know, the Texans will go, okay, then sit in there. But you know what? You got media responsibilities too. You're going to meet the media every day, Deshaun.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to taste? Because that you're the quarterback of this football team and you've got to meet the media.
Yeah, but we know that's not happening.
Well,
none of this is going to happen.
Well, yeah, right. He's going to be on the exempt.
Then no one's going to create something that's that uncomfortable. It would be ballsy if Deshaun said, I'm keeping my money, so I'll be see y'all at camp.
Yep.
I'll see y'all at camp. Y'all aren't finding me. Because if you're the Texans, you 100% have to go after the signing bonus. You can't just let them have the money free. That's Cal's money. Honestly, Deshaun's not doing anything to earn it. It's not their fault Deshaun's in this position. It's not their fault, really, that Deshaun decides not to come. He cannot be happy
well,
about stuff.
Well, it is their fault because Cal's
No,
stupid.
Not really, because he's still under contract. He still has a contract, and they gave him $27
million. Yeah.
Like,
but guess what? They're not getting any of that back. They're getting none of that back.
No, they absolutely are not,
because he's
going
to be on the exempt list, and then he's going to be traded.
No, they can still go after him from a moral clause standpoint. No, they 100% can get that back. I don't know how much of it, but they can 100% go get some of their money back. Regardless of exempt list, that signing bonus is separate. That signing bonus, there are morals clauses, and I'm guessing this falls under a morals clause.
Yeah, I will bet you right now that they recoup none of that $27 million.
I tell you what, I would say with Caserio and with Jack Easterby, be careful about that. because they're not going to be down with this. A, Casario from the school that he comes from is
well,
a hardcore.
Neither of them were part of that.
What do you mean?
Well, it was Bill O'Brien that signed him to this deal.
No. Jack Easterby was here as part of the deal, too.
Well, yeah, Jack Easterby was here.
And Casario is a guy who understands that this is his owner's money, and this is the way things are done. It's not personal. This is just business.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to.
Why would you let him keep it? For what? Tell me the reason.
Just leave, bye, go
no, but
bye.
Tell me the
good
reason.
Riddance. But we're going to get as much as we can for it. Good riddance. Goodbye.
Yeah, but you can do that and still get your money back.
Yeah.
You can do both.
Good luck with the Players Association.
If it was
that
your
fight.
Money, would you just give up $27
million? That's not it. Good luck with the Players Association and getting that back.
You still go through. Guys get salary. It's not talked about a lot, but guys get money taken back from them all the time. This is not going to be unusual for a guy. I mean, I say all the time when they're involved in these kind of incidents, which is not all the time.
No, and this is a very rare occurrence. I'm just telling you. Good luck with that. I don't think that. I don't think they'll see a dime of that money. And Deshaun will be gone. Get as much as you can for him. That's all. We'll see. Maybe it'll happen. I don't know. Maybe it'll happen. But in the meantime, the league needs to get off his ass. Your league sucks. Okay,
been saying that for years. Okay. His league sucks. Yeah.
I mean, Dell, were you part of the XFL with us?
No, I didn't call. You didn't do anything. I didn't work on
you
it.
You were lazy. That's right.
I wasn't. No,
you weren't. You know what? I was working my ass off for the league.
I gave the opportunity. I don't have any loyalty to the XFL. I was asked if I wanted to, and I said, "Why don't you give someone opportunity who doesn't have?" That so I was like, you know what,
Tyler,
not Tyler, the person who's going to run the board here, I forgot who it was. They're asked, hey, did you want to do this?
Oh, Andrew.
Like, yeah, I was like,
it was Andrew.
Yeah, at the time, yeah. I was like, well, maybe
he was excellent. Too,
maybe give someone an opportunity to do it.
He was like, excellent,
and really that was code for. Aren't those games on the weekend?
9:12. Mike Tannenbaum's next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
And before that, let's talk about Craig the Surf.
Craig the Surf is the guy who gets me to and from where I need to go. Not, I mean, in a way, because I speak for them and I have a Chevy Traverse and we got a lease. I've got a lease. The wife has a lease on Traverse. We love the vehicles. In that same car class, they've got GMC Acadias. They've got Buick Enclave. I'm giving you the larger crossover / SUV, and they're really just calling them SUVs now because they're just shorter SUVs. They still have great interior space, but if you want a Tahoe, I mean, they got a Tahoe for you. You want a Suburban? They got a Suburban for you. That's not a problem. You want something smaller, like the Buick Encore? They've got great offers on the Buick Encore. There's phenomenal compact SUVs and crossovers going on right now on the Buick side and the Chevy side. GMC Sierra 1500 pickup truck has got some deep discounts and purchase allowances. So if you go to LanceZCars.com, you can find a variety of vehicles to choose from those three brands. And you can start the car buying experience online by looking at all the vehicles that they have. But just remember, they want pre-owned vehicles right now. And if you have relatively low mileage on your pre-owned, you might be surprised about the amount of money you're going to get for your pre-owned vehicle, which is really going to help you when it comes to purchasing or leasing your vehicle. This is a great opportunity for you to get into a vehicle, and they have some really good programs going on right now in the month of June. And, of course, in July, brand new programs will start up in that month as well. Go to LanceZCars.com or just head out to Angleton, Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet and Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bringing in Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL general manager, ESPN analyst, 33rd team. He's doing it all, and he's with us here to talk all things NFL. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Well, we really appreciate you being here. What caught our eye, I'm on the email list for the 33rd team. You guys put out some great content.
We need to tell people about this because when I found out about it, I was blown away. And then to be part of a call, I didn't speak. Well, I guess I did once, but to be part of the call where you have all these football, different football people from different, I mean, different walks of football life, I guess, speaking on their expertise. Watching the video breakdowns, Mike, and I want people to go find these on YouTube under the 33rd Team YouTube. We've got NFL coaches doing breakdowns of Justin Fields and of the quarterback of Trevor Lawrence. I mean, that's rare for you to have that type of insight from a guy who's done it for a living to be looking at tape and showing you things that they really, really like. So I think people who are football geeks and really love the hardcore stuff, 33rd Team is 100% for you.
No, I really appreciate it. It's been great. You know, we've helped coaches stay current and had some really good discussion guys, and then we've helped some young grad students get jobs in the NFL. I'm proudly about 6 of our students were hired in the NFL in the last couple of months. So, you know, proud to be part of it. And we actually had a great speaker this week. We had the head coach of the Duke national lacrosse team, Coach Danowski, 3-time national champion at Duke. And just hearing him talk about culture and team building and starting over, it was just great lessons for anybody that's interested in team building and sports. So appreciate you bringing it up. It's 33rdteam.com.
Yep, 33rdteam.com. And I get the emails and you get all the stories there. So sign up for the emails, the blast that they give you, and then you go right to the stories. And there's a couple of stories, and they're actually differing stories. One is Baker Mayfield shouldn't be paid. And then another one, Joe Banner asked the question, why would Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Baker Mayfield step on the field in 2021 without a new deal? So how do you view both sides of this one?
Yeah, it's interesting, and that's what's great about this platform. We have great discussions, and oftentimes we have great debate and disagreement. So for me, I would pay Lamar Jackson. I would pay Josh Allen, although candidly I would be concerned about both of their play styles. Josh Allen was hurt at Wyoming. Lamar Jackson is an MVP in the league, great character, great ability. The ball is in his hands so much that it does get me a little concerned that, you know, could he be hurt at some point? But regardless, you have to sign him because, you know, he's so good. The other one for me, Baker Mayfield, I wouldn't. And there's a number of reasons. You know, you look at Kevin Stefanski's career, guys, and he's won with Case Keenum. He's won with Kirk Cousins. And they have a really good team. To me, it's a resource allocation discussion. And I simply would just wait. I would just make sure that he's the guy. He's under contract for this year. You've exercised the option. You can always tag him. So to me, that's a little bit more of a wait and see.
Interesting. And then Lamar Jackson, listen, you mentioned it, the ball in his hands so much. But and as he gets older, and if there is wear and tear, he uses his legs so much. It's such a big part of his game, Mike, that are you worried about him being able to just throw when it comes down to just throwing for him?
Look, I think all three of these guys are, you know, you look at, there's a great axiom. The tape sets the floor and the character sets the ceiling. I think all three of them have a chance to get better. I think they all have big ceilings in terms of if they could stay healthy. Again, my biggest concern is really more about injury than it is skill development.
Yeah, you know, I think an interesting philosophical debate right now, Mike, is, at some point, you know, we're seeing this in the NBA with Ben Simmons, for example. And I always feel like it's smart to be able to look into other sports to see, because sometimes you find answers or you're able to change your vantage point when you look at other sports. The NBA has been a league where they have a cap and they just say, okay, max dollars, and everyone's getting max dollar, or a lot of players get max dollar contracts. When, if you think about it, the elite players should be the ones getting max contracts. And then you have the Sixers who are in a quandary here with a guy who has a max dollar contract in Ben Simmons, but he's not really a max dollar player. I think something similar can be said about football, where you had, interestingly enough, Kirk Cousins set a new bar for quarterback pay, and especially as it pertains to guaranteed money. And now, since everything is following suit, we saw Pat Mahomes, we saw obviously the Texans did a very player-friendly deal for Deshaun Watson. It is going to be interesting to see how many NFL teams are willing to take hard stances on guys like Baker Mayfield and say, look, your value is this number because you're not a tier one quarterback. That's got to be hard negotiations to do that. But, I mean, you also stick yourself when you're $35 million for an average quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a great discussion, guys. Like, really, you could look at it on both sides. Like, clearly, Philadelphia and the Rams look at Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and say, wow, those are two deals we really wish we could have back. But on the other hand, Dak Prescott, they didn't get that deal done back when the market was probably $32 to $33 million, and now he's at $40 million, deservedly so. So, you know, it's really a tough conundrum, and I've been on both ends of it where I gave Mark Sanchez an extension, and he just played worse after we signed him. But, again, when you feel like you have the guy, you think, like, wow, the price is only going to go up. I just think Mayfield is a good player, and I totally agree with what you're saying. He's a good player. I just don't see greatness there.
Right.
Jameis Winston, Mike Tannenbaum with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jameis Winston, are you buying him with Sean Payton?
I am, and I give him a ton of credit. He humbled himself. He got a graduate degree with Sean Payton and Drew Brees after being the first pick in the draft, and candidly, that's not easy. You know, not a lot of guys could do it. So I believe in him, his character, his work ethic, his humility, the fact that he did what he did. I don't know a lot of other players that have accomplished what he has, did what he did. So I think they're a little bit of an under-the-radar story right now, but I think he'll play well this year.
Yeah, it's the quarterback position is just such something that, you know, obviously we've been focused on a lot, and the Texans are in a tough spot because I don't think Deshaun will ever play again for the Texans, and yet – with a high pick, they'll probably be looking at quarterback again, but they just drafted Davis Mills in the third, which I thought was, I don't know. You're going to have to play him at some point to see what you have, because if you get a great value in the third round like Russell Wilson, not that he's going to be the same player, but, man, that just opens you up to be able to do so much more with your roster. I've got a question about value. A lot of people think that the value of Deshaun Watson is dead and will be dead. It's my opinion, Mike, and I want to see if you disagree here, that when everything is known, when everything is settled and all the suspensions and everything, it's already on the books and you know exactly what you're dealing with, I think Deshaun Watson's value skyrockets again next year, especially if they wait until before the draft when you think about all the teams, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. Start thinking of teams that you're not talking about now. They're all going to need quarterback.
Yeah, I generally would agree with that, with the only exception is, like, we got to keep in mind that as of this call right now, there's a criminal case
correct
out there. You know, there are alleged victims that, you know, we don't know what happens, you know, in terms of, does the case go to trial? Is he found guilty? You know, we have to be sensitive to the fact that this is an ongoing, you know, criminal case. So I think because of that, it's a little bit of a wait and see to see what happens and where things come out, you know, in terms of the facts. And another thing we have to keep in mind, too, is that complicates things that, again, I'm speculating because we don't know what's going to happen, but even if there were some sort of, you know, criminal settlement, you know, charges or drop, whatever could happen, that the commissioner has in his ability, he could suspend a player like he did with Ben Roethlisberger, even though a criminal case wasn't, you know, fully adjudicated, meaning that the standard for a player to be suspended in the NFL is lower than that of a criminal standard. So there's a long, long way to go, but our league generally is a league of second chances. You know, we've seen that with the Michael Vicks of the world. So you're speculating, and I would tend to agree with it. I think we just have a little ways to go to get there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
So the Texans are the big favorite to finish fourth in the division, Mike. And we speculated that the better value would be them finishing third, that, you know, maybe with Trevor Lawrence as a rookie, they got a possibility of finishing third
value
in the division.
Not more. We don't think it's more likely.
No, more value in that in them finishing third in the division. The even money is Indianapolis and the Titans winning the division. Who you got in the South?
You know, I answered that question about 4 or 5 years ago. I'm a huge believer in Ryan Tannehill, and when you really look at what he's done when he's been healthy, he's been. This is just, you know, this is not me, like, talking about a guy I like. This is the facts. You know, that's been a top five offense since he's been in Tennessee. So I think Carson Wentz has to go prove it. He certainly has the ability to do so. But having Julio Jones, I've worked with so many defensive coaches in my career, Coach Parcells, Coach Belichick, Rex Ryan, Eric Mangini. And just looking at that offense through the lens of what they would be saying, you know, who do you want to take away? You know, you can't double A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. And if you play a lot more cover two and defend the pass, you know, you can just hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. So I think this is going to be a really difficult offense to defend.
Their defense is lacking, though.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, it's a work in progress. You know, Caleb Farley's going to have to stay healthy, something he wasn't able to do at Virginia Tech. And, you know, it's interesting because I see Dallas in a similar way where, you know, they were poor defensively. Obviously, they made a big change with Dan Quinn coming in, who I think is going to do a great job. But if you're Tennessee guys, I don't think you have to be great on defense. I think you have to be middle of the road. I think you're going to have to make that one or two stops in the fourth quarter because they're going to be able to score. So I do have questions about their defense, but again, I don't think it has to be great for them to be successful.
Are you? Where do you fall on the spectrum of how to utilize Derrick Henry? I mean, a ton of touches last year. You're paying him a bunch of money. And I know there's a school of thought that it makes sense to have some type of, not necessarily a committee, but you need to find somebody who can take some of the workload off his shoulders. But at the same time, how long are you going to have the battering ram running backs? I really feel like there's going to be a school of thought that says, you know what, let's just ride them as hard as we can for the money we're paying, and then we'll move on to running back, because runners like this typically don't go for more than 4 to 6 years max.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. You know, what's interesting, guys, is, you know, this whole notion of 17 games, like, will there be, you know, a game or two where, you know, let's say Tennessee's locked into whatever, the third seed, the sixth seed, whatever it may be. You know, do we see more teams being judicious with their key players, be it the running back or other positions? So be very interesting. But I think Derrick Henry, you know, takes great care of his body. There's a big hitting surface there in terms of he does take a lot of hits. That would be a concern. But he's, you know, arguably, you know, if he's not the best running back in the league, he's certainly in that conversation.
Do you believe in a Carson Wentz rejuvenation with Frank Reich?
I'm a little bit of a wait and see guy because I just feel like I've been around greatness. I've seen guys like Brett Favre up close, and you know, you have to be mentally and physically tough to be a great NFL quarterback. And I know a lot of things happened in Philly that were not his fault, but gosh, like, you know, if you're a great player, you're a great player. Like, you know, if Aaron Rodgers was on Jacksonville last year, they probably would have been a really good team. You know, there's greatness in Aaron Rodgers. There's greatness in Tom Brady. And if Carson Wentz wants to be in the conversation of a great quarterback, I just think it could have ended much differently in Philly.
33rd team. Go to it, 33rdteam.com, and get the emails. You get all their blasts, and the content is awesome.
Smart.
You can also see Mike on ESPN. Now, how are you liking the ESPN gig?
You know, it's been great. You know, I'm just very fortunate to be around, like, really smart and talented teammates. And, you know, they make you really raise your game. And it's been a lot of fun, and I've learned a lot.
You know, in a previous life, back when I was talking to Mike back before I had an agent back in 2014, I was talking to Mike about, Mike, you had, at one point, you were working with, what group? Was it your group where you were representing different people, like media personalities and their contracts?
Yeah, I was, and it was a great experience, and I learned a lot and got to work with guys like Steve Kerr and Dan Quinn and coaches and broadcasters, and it was a great experience.
Yeah, that's good. Well, hey, thanks for joining us, and once again, for those of you who really enjoy the intricacies of football and some philosophical discussions, I think you are really going to enjoy 33rd Team. I think you're going to hear a lot about that over the next year, so make sure you check it out. And, of course, Mike Tannenbaum, also follow him and check out all his great work on ESPN. Mike, we really appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You got it. We'll see you, Mike.
There's Mike Tannenbaum with us here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got to talk right now about HRP. HRP is fantastic. We really, really, really advocate you. And I don't know what your situation is with your business. If you're a CFO, if you're CEO, if your business is growing, if you're getting more employees, if it's taking up more and more time, if you've messed up at tax time, if you don't know about the Affordable Care Act, if you weren't successful with your PPP loans, if you weren't successful with getting your small business loan, if your payroll company didn't answer when you called, didn't have answers when you called, all of these things could be right now adding up for you, and you're like, I need somebody that's better. Well, we got somebody that's better, and it's called HRP, HRP.net. You will love doing business with them. They'll come and customize a plan for your business, and they'll save you money. They're going to save you money today at HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Man, it's fun. It's fun to watch. The guys go to work every single day. Man, it starts in the cage, and then with the approach. Everybody's putting in the right work, and then we all have the same approach out there at the plate. We're trying to swing a good pitch to hit. We're not chasing much, and, you know, that's the key of success. When you want to hit in the big leagues, you got to go out there and hit the good pitches and try to leave those nasty pitches they're throwing nowadays.
It's Carlos Correa. Sad to think that this is the last year we'll be hearing Carlos sound bites. Well, maybe we can play him when he's with the Yankees.
We just did a sports map that said he's not.
What?
You said if they give him $30 million a year, he'll stay.
Well, if they do, who said that they're going to give him $30 million a year? Where did you hear that out of Jim Crane's mouth? When did you hear this?
You intimated that it was coming.
No, I didn't. I said if
that's
they
what I
did,
took from that video.
Yeah, no. If they offered him $8,240, yes, he would sign. Yes. Okay, I'm pretty damn sure. I'm pretty damn sporty. Unless they come, oh well, with Carlos Beltran, Uncle Drayton did. He signs for $120 million with the Mets, and Drayton goes, "Wow, we offered him 101. We offered him out." No, you didn't. You never did. You offered him after he accepted
That's
the Mets
called
offer.
Pass posting, where you try to get a bet in after you know what's happened or the game started.
Are we at all disappointed with Michael Brantley and only his 4 home runs this year? I mean,
if you want to be that guy, that's fine.
Well, he's only got 4 homers. I just, such a great hitter.
You want to talk about nitpicking right now? Michael Brantley's hitting over 500 in a month. And John's like, oh,
no, he's 492.
For the
this
month?
Yeah, the month.
Not as good as 500.
No, it's not. His OPS is only 12 something, but 4 homers on the year? Pick it up.
It is a little lower than
expected. Well, but you know what he's doing? Spraying it. Bing, bing, bing. Here's a hit. Watch this. I'm going this way. I'm going that way. I'm going this
bing,
way.
Bing, pow, boom.
He had a 2-hit night and his average dropped. That's how good he has been. That's how unbelievable he's been. 2-hit night. That's just not good enough.
2-hit night.
6 straight multi-hit games. 6 straight.
No, but he's not hitting 500 for the year. That's not.
Oh, 492 this month.
It dropped for the month. His average actually went up.
No, he was 2-for-6. So 333 is less than 492,
oh,
so it went
that's
down.
That's right. He had 6 at-bats, too. Yeah. I was thinking he was 2-for-5.
Yeah, no, he ain't no Miles Straw who goes 4-for-6.
4-for-6 in the leadoff spot.
Yeah, how about that, John?
Where they put him. Where they put him in, like I said, spring training. All man, right. Miles Straw, look at him.
Ever since spring training, you've had different words for Miles Straw, though.
I've been nothing but an advocate.
What's Miles Straw's batting average right now?
He's .264.
Nothing but an advocate.
Are you, though?
If you could have drawn and quartered Miles Straw, you would have.
No, I wouldn't have drawn and quartered.
If you could have had this going,
I'm not the
ding, ding, shame, shame.
There would have been some Scottish dude next to him going, confess, it's okay. He would have did to him what they did to Braveheart.
No.
That's what he would have done to Miles Straw. One of his buddies.
I good copped him, and John was bad copping him.
Yeah, no, I would not have had Miles Straw walking naked.
I said, "There's not
with
enough
a, with
evidence
a bell behind him."
There's
saying,
not enough
shame.
Evidence for conviction, and you said, "Did you see the drop fly ball?" You just kept hammering Miles Straw to confess. Like, confess. Write this out on this paper. Show me your confession of being a crap player.
Well,
and give your position to Chaz McCormick.
I still
and Matt and Miles is like.
One of them has 9 home runs. That's right.
Then kick
in 117 at bats.
Then kick Kyle Tucker
one
out.
Of the leaders in the league.
Then kick Kyle
in
Tucker
home
out.
Runs per at bat.
Kick Kyle Tucker out.
Kyle
then.
Tucker ain't going nowhere.
Miles Straw ain't going nowhere.
Miles Straw's
already like, now maybe if I hit 400, you shut your mouth, John.
You filthy
whore
mouth.
Dirty Chicago loving double sausage mouth.
Mm-hmm. Your sausage and peppers. I got that for you, Jen.
Sausage and peppers. That's not a bad idea today.
It's delicious.
That is delicious. That is deliciousness. 938 on ESPN 97.5. I just think that our team is really good. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm on board this year for sure.
No, they're fun to watch.
I'm going to need more evidence.
You can't judge a team,
no,
right?
It's baseball.
It's baseball. You can't. It's
we're not even at the All-Star break.
And we're going to say that this is a good baseball team?
Yeah, how about you let the season play out?
This is early. You got to let it play out.
It is too early to tell.
Is it?
It really kind of is. Yeah, okay. We have no idea what kind of team we got here. I know that they're... So, they are 75 games in. At the 75... We're six games away from the halfway point. They will have played three more against Detroit and then three more against Baltimore. They've won 11 straight. Of these next six games against... And we'll hit the halfway point. We'll hit the halfway point. They could have 53 wins. 53 and 28 at the halfway point. That's pretty good.
100 plus is always good.
Is this team better than the 17 team?
No.
Well, let's not forget, at this point, they didn't have Verlander.
Well, right now they are.
They had Keuchel as the ace.
Right now. I think that...
It was Keuchel, Morton, McCullers.
But Dallas Keuchel was a damn good pitcher.
He was good.
Was he as good as
Fromber is?
Well, it's a deeper... You know, actually, that's a fair question. The bullpen is definitely better than in 17. Now, until they got to the postseason and it started to fall apart. But the bullpen arms was definitely better than right now. You still got a bunch of guys who are 5 and 6.
Yeah.
Hey, granted, who are the guys you like?
Ryan Stanek went in last night, and he is tied for most appearances. They've played 75 games, and he's been in 38 of them. That's not a lot for your most appearances in a bullpen. That's not a lot.
Here's the Astros bullpen, just so we can remind you, because they didn't have starters in the bullpen until the postseason. That's when they started doing that. Your relief pitchers were Ken Giles, who had a 2.30 that year, by the way. A 2.30 with 34 saves. That's Hall of Fame worthy if you're Billy Wagner.
And he punched himself in the face a bunch.
Chris Devansky, who was a 2.68 for the year. I'm not just going to read you. We misremember because of how bad they were in the postseason. Right. Will Harris, who was a 2.98. Michael Feliz, I don't really care. Well, he had 46 appearances. Michael Feliz, man, I barely remember that. He had 5.63.
Yeah.
Gregerson had a 4.57.
Yeah.
And then you get into Verlander, I can't count. Where are just games for bullpen. Who else? Gustavsy. Liriano sucked. Paulino. God, you remember Paulino? Yeah. Now, he had 6 starts that year.
Tony
Sipp, 5.79.
Yeah.
Okay. But you also had...
5.79, 4.79. Gregerson. It wasn't that great.
But the guys who showed up the most, like... Devansky had 62 appearances. Giles had 63. Those guys were both under 3. Will Harris had 46.
46?
He was under 3. He had 46
We're not
appearances.
Even halfway point, and Stanek already has 38.
Well, they also, I think some of their starters went a little bit longer. But it was okay. Your top three guys. Then you had Gregerson who didn't. I mean, look, Gregerson's 4.57 will make him a closer on this year's bullpen, basically, other than Presley. Who Presley?
I'm sorry. It's
me.
32 and 32, not 38. 32 and 32. Yeah. They're on, and Presley's already been in 28. I don't know. I know it started really poorly, but this bullpen has really picked it up of late.
It's picked it up against worse competition.
Well, no, they picked it up against Chicago. They picked it up. They've been good.
They have. They're not a good bullpen.
Yeah.
Astros might never make a
neither
deal.
Neither was that one. And you know what? I'm going to take this rotation
this bullpen had
over 17.
This bullpen
rotation.
Had all-stars on it, actually.
Yeah, well.
Devo made an all-star. Will Harris was an all-star. Ken Giles was an all-star. Luke Gregerson, I think, one year might have been an all-star.
Yeah,
like,
not that year, they were all-stars.
But they were much more accomplished. Go pull the whip numbers up on the Astros bullpen this year. Here's what Ken Giles was, 1.03. Chris Devansky, 0.94. Will Harris, 0.97. I'm telling you.
Presley, 0.93 right now.
That's great. Now keep going.
Okay. Luis Garcia. Blake Taylor, 119.
He just
Christian Javier, 0.99.
No, don't use a starter. Like
He's
I
not.
Said,
Javier's in the bullpen.
That's now he is.
Yeah, because well, they got too many starters.
Then let me pull
and guess
up,
what? You're going to get another Luis Garcia in the bullpen.
Then let me pull up McCullers. Okay. What I'm saying is standard bullpen, it's because of the depth of the starters that is going to help bolster your bullpen. To read the guys who always come in, read Belak, read Stanek,
But they're going to be pushed aside.
But they're there right now.
They're there right now. I get it. And so were five.
But they're coming into games.
And so was 5'7"
No, but they're coming in. Yeah,
so
right.
Was, yeah.
But these are all 5'7". But there's three guys who had good whip numbers. Blake Taylor hasn't been around very long. And then you got to go to the starters, Christian Javier.
There are no guys that you use that are over five.
Hold on. What's Belak's?
Belak right now.
He still gets in games.
His ERA is 4.88.
No, what's his whip?
His is 1.34.
What's terrible? What's Brooks Raley? Raley's been much better.
Raley's 1.28.
Raley's been much better.
It's coming down.
It's coming down. But my point is, this year's bullpen is worse than that year's bullpen.
I don't know about the difference. It's arguable.
But the difference is going to be, and I never trusted Ken Giles as a closer, but the difference is going to be that, yes, when you finally have everyone healthy, which you do, you are going to be able to push. The Christian Javier push, they didn't get that until the postseason. But once they got that in the postseason, Lance McCullers, you could argue he saved the season.
Yeah.
He saved the season against
so
the Yankees.
Charlie Morton.
And then Charlie Morton saved the season for Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
That same, saved the World Series. It was starters.
Garcia gets in there, you tell me that Presley, Garcia, Javier, and maybe even Taylor aren't better than that back end. It's going to be much better.
So Brad Peacock also had 34 games. We had 13 games in the bullpen. He was a major, major part as well. He was 1.189, but I don't have the splits between bullpen and starter. But Brad Peacock was a major, major factor. Was Colin McHugh out of the pen at all that year? No.
No, he was a starter.
12
games,
12
starters. And oh, by the way, give me this starting rotation over that starting rotation. And give me this offense. Give me this offense as well, even with George Springer. I mean, that offense was great. I'm gonna take this offense
right now. This is a
Don't forget, you didn't have Jordan.
You got Jordan, which is a hammer.
And Brantley.
But George's nuts hang down. Like, they scraped the ground. George had nuts that scraped the ground.
See.
I wish I could say it clean, but kids, you need to understand what this means.
Oh, that's terrible.
George had nuts that scraped the ground. He was fearless. What am I going to say? Wheelbarrow? I want the kids to know what I'm talking about.
Again with that?
They dropped. One day they will drop for you, and they just kept dropping for George in the postseason.
Wow.
You couldn't get pants big enough for George Springer.
I mean, there was a time where George Springer was, hey, let's take this guy out of the lineup. He stinks.
After one game.
Yeah.
Didn't that
one game?
Wasn't he struggling leading to that as well? Couldn't have been just one game.
And a guy I used to do radio with had a tweet I was off the radio at the time. He's like, I would rather they not have even made the World Series than this.
Yeah.
And it was like, supposedly AJ Hinch was furious when he saw it. But people wanted to get rid of George Springer, get him out of the lineup after one game.
Just put him in the cleanup spot where he belongs.
Four strikeouts, and then he comes back and is the MVP of the World Series.
946 ESPN.
Wait, hold on. Hold on.
Bregman, wheelbarrow.
Where he belongs.
I don't know if you heard. He's still on the team.
Yeah, he's still there. He's still there.
But this is a different version.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a better version.
Will he be?
You don't want to watch Bregman's nuts? Okay.
Hey.
Yuli Gurriel? No, I don't. Yuli Gurriel?
What is going on?
I'm just saying. Now, you do have Brantley. You do have Yordan. That's a big difference.
We're talking about Springer's. Is that why he's injured?
On. Springer's nuts.
You don't have Reddick? Do you have Reddick now? No. Do you have McCann now? No.
Wasn't Reddick good in 17, just terrible in the playoffs?
He was actually better, yeah. We kind of make fun, but Josh Reddick was actually decent. And so was, and McCann was okay. I mean, to me, Maldonado, McCann, whatever.
It's the same thing.
Can we
take a break?
You think Springer's hurt because of all the dragging?
One guy speaks Spanish, one guy has a workbench in his garage.
Springer's still hurt from all of his stuff being dragged on the ground from 17? I mean, Is that why he's hurt?
That's why he's out.
Yeah.
You drag him on the ground that long? That's what's going to happen. 947, take a break.
This is ESPN 97.5. Fun sports.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. 950 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. What do you think Kirby is going to say? Kirby had an interesting call yesterday, didn't he?
Did he call during Throw Shade Thursday?
Was that
he called in. No, he called in and actually... Oh, wait. He was talking about transgender stuff.
Oh, yeah. And we something I
no,
I,
but he wasn't I, even making
I,
a.
I don't know how
he
to,
said. He said that a joke, the women who are competing against transgender women should just walk off.
That was Forrest said that.
See, I thought he called. Yeah, I don't remember what he called.
Forrest called and said that. That's okay. My guy, Forrest. And and I was actually thinking more about that. How difficult that would be for all these women that. You know, work their asses off to get to the Olympics and then just give it, just say, nah, no, there's, you just can't do that. Especially you're representing your country.
Yeah. There's a lot of things in play.
A lot of things in play. I mean, that you giving up your life for four, eight, whatever years it is that you're doing this and you're just going to walk away and say, no, this is wrong. Now you're going to compete and hope you beat that person.
Laurel. This case.
Yeah. In this case, a weightlifter. Who's a transgender weightlifter? I forget Kirby. It was uncomfortable. Whatever Kirby said. But let's bring Kirby back in here. What's up, Kirby?
No, I was talking about Christian Wood.
That's right.
It wasn't uncomfortable. It was just bad.
Various types of wood.
Yeah, that was really stupid. But okay, go ahead.
Well, that's a different call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I you know what I haven't heard in a long time and. Is the name Dan Mocelli. I think Lance, didn't you puke blood on your driveway when he
well, that was a Pujols homer. Was it off Mocelli?
I thought Mocelli did something.
I don't remember who it was. I was really more pissed off that the Astros kept pitching to Pujols. I was flabbergasted that they continued to pitch to Pujols. I was so mad. I mean, you just have to pitch around him, and they got beat by him again with a home run. I don't remember who gave it up, but I was just so pissed off. And, I said...
Yeah, it always amazes me when teams just continue to throw it.
I don't understand why you let the best guys beat you. Like, why would you throw to Yordan ever? If you're the Orioles, you just can't throw to Yordan. I granted, that's a really, really deep lineup that the Astros have, but it never made sense to throw to Bonds. It didn't make sense to throw to Pujols. You know, if a guy's on a heater, I just would work away from them. But with the Astros, if you do that and you put too many men on base, they're going to go crooked number. So that's what's great about the Astros. It's hard to work around hitters in the lineup because the next guy up is just killing you right now.
I love the show.
All right.
Well, drive around all day.
Kirby, thanks. Uh, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here and just kind of BS, just kind of relax and talk to the show, that'd be great. That's awesome.
I don't remember this. Fan Tim says, what did you say? He goes, Lance threw me under the bus with Ken Hoffman. I emailed you guys about Hoffy being a puss about lightsabers at Chick-fil-A, and Lance ran straight to Hoffy. Hoffy emailed me calling me a bully, made me sad. I don't even know what this is about. What is this about on Twitter?
We were talking about all the things that you, with Billy Wagner, they had to call you about Van Gollum
I called,
Yeah.
And I threw, he's just jumping in on that.
Yeah, he's just jumping in.
Yeah, with Hoffy. I don't remember how lightsabers and Chick-fil-A came up. That sounds like an interesting topic. What that means?
I don't know. I don't know what that means either.
Because everyone's anti-LARPing.
Come Fan Timmy, though, you made him sad. So that sucks. The big orange wagon,
I don't think it's catching on.
No, did Dusty, that's what Dusty called him?
Yeah, because they were trying to compare this streak in the hitting to, you know, the big red machine. And Dusty was like, well, I don't know. Like, are we the big orange wagon? It's pretty good, but it's, he just pulled it out of somewhere.
Mm.
I don't think it's something that's going to stick.
Ooh, is this, I got a feeling it'll be a T-shirt.
The big orange
it
wagon?
Could easily. There's many T-shirt companies out there.
Yeah,
I will guarantee
you.
Running Game will come up with a big orange wagon, something like that. Or
yeah, the wagon and
the
wagon
the one
wheel.
Company that stole their idea. And started selling T-shirts for the Tech for the Astros or whatever. They'll do it. Yeah, somebody's going to. Oh, I can see a big orange wagon.
Oh yeah, there'll be a big orange wagon
with bats falling out of it. Yeah, completely. And you got bats falling out of it.
Yeah,
or just runs.
Why are you giving away ideas?
Maybe just numbers. Yeah, numbers like 3, 6, 4. Those would be innings, but maybe you have games like game numbers, like a 10, a 13, a 12 is just falling out of the back of the wagon.
What about the big orange wheelbarrow?
So they don't scrape on the
ground?
They're
not, yeah.
I like that.
So they're carrying around their nuts.
You guys think maybe we back off saying that word so much? You think maybe maybe it's enough?
You want us to back off on that?
Maybe it's enough.
The big, I don't know. Astros winning streak at 11. They go for a club record tying 12 tonight. And it's Fromber. Good Lord. Detroit is probably
too good to be true?
No, it's not too good.
And Peralta stinks.
So
he's facing a bullpen pitcher. Fromber's like minus 265.
Ooh, yikes.
Yeah, no, it's really high.
That's really,
they're
really
minus 255 for the first five innings, which is Fromber territory. And the Astros score early.
Minus 255 and 265 for the whole game? Minus 255 for the first five innings and 265 for the game.
Like, unlike you, who thinks the bullpen's the greatest thing since sliced bread, as Steve Francis once said, they don't see it that way.
Hmm.
They seem to think that you can pick up those, you know, two runs at the end of a game on Ralph Perez or whatever.
Ralphie Garza is his name, not Ralphie Perez.
No, it's a joke. So you got Fromber's a 270 favorite. The first half, a.k.a. the first five innings, minus 255.
That's still...
I know. Never seen it that out of whack.
That's a lot. Well, Fromber against Slappy? McSlap? Come on. That's a no-brainer. Throw your 265 down.
If you...
Throw your 255 in the hopper.
Let's say you wanted to win $200. $200 would cost you $540.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot, doesn't it?
It does sound like a lot.
But you just hate to see somebody.
But wait a minute. You get Fromber.
I know. It feels easy, which is why it's never easy, but they're on a heater, and Fromber.
Going for the record. They feel great. You never know what lineup Dusty's going to put out there, though.
It doesn't matter.
He might put Maldonado at short
this
tonight.
Is what he's doing right now. I don't care what.
Yeah,
you want to see? Watch what we can do.
This. I'm going to lead off Straw.
I'm going to go Straw,
Robel,
McCormick, Robel, Toro. Like, are you sure you want to do that? Watch. Machete. And you know what? Put Stubbs in left field. Stubbs. Like, what are you doing, Dusty? Watch. I bet you we win 5-1. Are you sure? I'll bet you $100.
No.
And a pimento cheese sandwich.
Ugh. Oh, you're going to put betting on him like Pete Rose?
No, you can't do that. I'll bet you two pimento cheese sandwiches and a hot coffee.
Because
Dusty's old school and probably drinks hot coffee with a sandwich.
Lance, before you leave for the day, I'm going to give you two something you can double date with your wives with.
What's that?
Go to iPix so you know you're not cheaping out on the date. You guys should take your wives and go see Fast and Furious 9 tonight.
Is this a promo?
No. But
okay. What are you talking about?
But it's out now.
I will admit,
double date.
One time
with
I
the
was
wives.
Sick. I had a
Fast and Furious 9 is out.
Yes.
Let me get my tickets now.
I will never forget this. I was at home sick, laying in bed with a fever, and I've been sick for like 2 days. Like the kind where the TV's just on for background noise. And I just had it on some movie channel. I don't even know what it was. I was in and out, in and out, in and out. And I looked at, I just looked up at the TV, and it was, I think, is Tokyo Drift, was that one of the Fast and Furious?
Yes.
Oh, my God. There were some good scenes.
There were.
You should
go. Well, what about the Hitman's wife's bodyguard?
That's been out for a while, right?
I know, but I get to see Selma Hayek for
sure, if you so choose, but I think you guys should take the wives out and go see Fast Fear.
Hey, honey, it's date night. We're going
with the Granados.
We're going to see Fast and Furious. What are we, 9?
Yes, F9 with the Granados.
F that.
I just think you guys would have a great time, you know, catch up and then go watch a great piece of cinema.
That's so garbage.
The picture of
it can't be
Astros.
Garbage, John. They're on 9. Yeah. So people are watching these movies.
Yeah, but it ain't me. I'd have to listen. I got to watch the first day.
No, you don't.
I have to see the first day. No. Before, otherwise, I won't know what's going on.
I'm telling you, you don't.
I'm telling you. I can't possibly go see 9.
That's part of the appeal of these movies. You don't need to know. And because they bring back dead people. Like, didn't you die in, like, 4? Whatever. We'll figure it out. This is what 9 is about.
It's a flashback.
No, this is what 9 is about. One of the guys who died in a movie, like, in number 3 or 4 is back in this one. They're going to explain it. How did he come back? He's been dead for, like, 5 movies.
Wait, what? Didn't somebody that was in it really die, though?
Oh, Paul Walker, yes.
Yeah, the star.
Yeah,
but I think he die in a car crash? But
Well, isn't that Vin Diesel dude or whatever his name is?
He's the lead dog. But a guy who died, his name's Han in the movie, he died in like 3 or 4. They're just going to bring him back and explain it away.
Oh, you're back.
Yeah.
It's just like soap operas.
Yeah, it's like a soap opera.
If you're at number 9, what's the difference?
I didn't really die.
They're going to come to the show whether you're...
Yeah.
And maybe they bring him back because he's... Like, is it a... Are they doing flashbacks?
I don't know why he's back, but
I don't even care. Why are you making me stay after this for Fast and Furious 9? This feels like one of Dell's greatest troll jobs.
But I just wanted you guys to see it as a group.
Crumb bum.
Because I think you guys should spend some time outside the show together and take your wives.
Just no, here's an idea. Just put Tokyo Drift on and just watch that. Trust me. That's movie making right there.
We got to say goodbye to Lance right now.
Bye, bitch.
Whoa. Wow. That is... Crumb bum.
Well, when the man's right, he's right.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.